You ever imagined what it would be like to see the Lord Jesus face to face? I haven't done that yet. I can't imagine what it'll be like. But one day at a Baptist church down in North Carolina, I met him in the conviction of my heart. As he revealed to me the darkness of a heart unregenerate. And all I knew was darkness, thinking I knew light. I had made a profession of faith. I was raised by a gospel preaching, Jesus teaching Baptist pastor. But at 21 years old, I met him heart to heart. And he broke my heart, and the light came on, and the darkness fled, and he is beautiful to me. Thank you for that song. Thank you for that singing. How about that choir? Oh, Brother Tracy. He said, wait till you hear our choir. And I was waiting, then I couldn't wait for the second time. How about that? How about our God that planned that choir forever? Think about that. He was here today before he created the worlds, saying, that's my choir. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. How you think about our God and what he is. How about a church that has weathered storms, rejoiced in the glory of Jesus, because it is a church. I had to write this down. I could never remember it. Came to me this morning, that is presented to the Lord without spot or wrinkle by the washing of the water of the Word, the testimonies of true repentant believers of Jesus Christ to live unto God, refusing sin. That's the entrance of a church such as this. It's called baptism. It's the testimony of a believer in drama. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior that we have. Now, I'm not started yet. Before I get started, I got to do, most preachers, even missionaries, have to do a little house cleaning. And I owe Miss Leslie an apology. I said I was going to go in there today and eat just a little bit. And I didn't do it. And I'm sorry for telling that lie. But it smelled so good and it tastes so wonderful. And I ate a bunch of it. And so now I want to take a nap, but I won't. You pray for me. I've never approached in years since I can remember, except the first time I preached. Longest sermon I ever preached was 8 minutes, including the invitation. But I've never approached a place with such intrepidation, because you mean so much to me. Your pastor means so much, and his wife and his family means so much to my wife and I. And there are a few men in the ministry, and you that have been around church, and any that have been in the ministry, whether it's music ministry, whatever the ministry you've been, you know there's a few that you can be yourself. Now, always let that be controlled by Jesus, please. But you don't have to worry about offense. And Pastor Tracy Harold is one of those friends of mine. And I'm so thankful for it. And I'm thankful for this church. And thank you for your support. Let's stand as we turn to the book of Acts in the 11th chapter. And I tried to think of what would be an appropriate thing for a missionary of a church, from a church, to speak on. And I've struggled. But I'll tell you this, being in this service this morning has been a blessing to my soul. I've been around churches all my life. And this is a uniquely gifted church and congregation by the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. right here, right now. Amen. In the 11th chapter, beginning in the 19th verse, we read, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only." Thank goodness that's changed. Hallelujah. I being Gentile from Texas. I know. I'm sorry. Didn't ask for it. Proud to be it, though. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians." There we go. Hey, we got into this act. Okay. "Preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Let me stop right there for just a second. I'll let you sit down just a second. We're going to go right back to it. But listen, look at that. "And much people was." Not were, but was. Why? They were one people. One church. Think about that. That wasn't a mistake in the grammar. That was on purpose. I love that. Read your Bible, looking at the words and saying, why does that say was? It said people. That's plural. It says was. Why? Because they're one church in Jesus Christ. Let's go on. "It would cleave unto the Lord." Oh, I'm past that, aren't I? No? Am I? Where am I? Here we go. "Added unto the Lord." Excuse me. Jumped up a verse. Hey, I'm old, so. "And added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together, themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Hallelujah. Father, the reading of thy word is most holy in our heart and in our thoughts. And thank you for this blessed old book. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to read this book. And Father, thank you for an opportunity to take this book to foreign lands through a church such as this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I read that I wrote this morning as I was listening to the pastor speak, and let me share this with you, there's two things that are difficult. One is having bright lights in your eyes when you're not used to it. When you're used to the bush, you got a candle. Bright lights, I can hardly see y'all. And then when the tears come, because they do when I preach, I can't help it. I love this book and I love the Savior. And I get excited about it. And I love just to speak his name and think of his love and his heart. And so tears come to my eyes, and then the light's glistening on the tears. And I don't know, is there a reason you don't want to see these? Never mind, I don't want to answer. I'll get myself in trouble before it's over. Hey, thanks. Good deal. Now I still can't see because I'm old. I can't hear either. Are y'all laughing or crying? As Pastor Tracy was speaking this morning, I was so touched with the joy that flooded this congregation, not so much from what he said, but what you could feel. You can tell if a place loves the Lord Jesus Christ when you walk in, if you have any discernment whatsoever. You can look at the faces. You can hear the greetings. You can feel the Spirit of the Most High God. If you can't feel the Spirit of the Most High God, you need to check your spirit odometer. Because it may have a problem. The cable may be disconnected or whatever runs them now. Digital. I got a digital one in Africa. When they break in Africa, you're in deep trouble. You can't find one anywhere. You can't find anybody who knows how to fix it. So I'm just driving down the road. That's another story. I won't chase that rabbit. Wondering if the police are going to stop me. I had to finish it. Anyway, I got a lead foot. And my nerves are gone bad, so I can't feel how hard I'm pressing on that lead foot. It's dangerous. The elephants flee when I come in that red truck. Have you ever seen a giraffe do more than just lope? They see the red truck coming, and away they go. It looks like you set a rocket on fire on that little tail on the back of them. Their neck is... Never mind. You can... I'm telling you, you know when the Spirit of the Lord is not only present, because He's present, period, everywhere, at all times, but He manifests His presence. That's why we come to church, isn't it? If we don't meet with the Lord and know His presence has touched our heart, something's gone wrong. And so usually it's us, preacher. I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about us, the congregation. Preacher couldn't be at fault. No. Yeah, there's churches you go into and you say, my goodness, is this that whited sepulcher that Jesus was talking about when He's talking to the Pharisees? You walk into Emmanuel, I like this, missionary. I've always loved missionaries. Now they tell me I are one. I don't feel like it. Missionary Baptist Church. When you walk in this place, the joy of the Lord floods the soul. But I will share with this with you. Just as this church at Antioch, just as it came into being through great adversity, so this church, a lot of the formation of the holiness and sacredness of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that meets in this place came through adversity. It never happens otherwise. There's always some adversity. Sometimes it is great. Sometimes it is small. Always it seems difficult. But adversity shows us who we are and shows a church what their heart is. This church got a heart. It's called Jesus Christ. The Lord said through the pen of David in the 37th Psalm, He said, I will give thee the desires of thy heart. The first time I thought that, a Camaro with a 427 popped in my mind. I must confess there have been times since then that a 4x4 with jacked up frame like this and monster tires and a 30-06 hanging out the window and me at the wheel. That's not what He's talking about. He said, I will give thee the desire of thy heart, and it's His desire that He has for you. And if we walk with the Most High God, even though we walk, as David said, through the valley of the shadow of death, He said, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Hallelujah. When we walk down the corridors of the darkness of Africa, hallelujah. When we know that they are against us, when we know the witch doctors would send absolute darkness our way and the demons of hell to fall upon us. We fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And it's through that adversity that we find the people who need Jesus Christ and need to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This past term, we have concentrated on trying to get an institute, a Bible institute, going. I have resisted that. I don't know why in the past, because I've seen so many of them turn into something that God never intended. So many are not schools of prophets. They're schools of mercenary men and women sometimes. And I've resisted it. And then a pastor came from Maryland to visit us, and he stuck something in my heart, in my mind, and I went and talked with one of the senior pastors in the ministry that the Lord has allowed us. And it's his ministry, it's not mine. And I talked with Pastor Aaron Ciaziombo. If you remember that after church, I'll give you a quarter. I'll say it again. What was it? Oh, yeah, Ciaziombo. First one to me, though. I only have one quarter. And I sat down with him that very morning, that this pastor, and I said, what do we need to do to enhance the training of our people? And he kind of dropped his head, and I said, oh, no, I know what you're about to say. He said, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I said, how do we do it? We both knew we were talking about a Bible Institute. And within a week, the Lord had given us a plan for an appropriate Bible Institute to train men out of the bush, men with little education but a big heart for Jesus Christ. I've put on Facebook before, and we may have it if we see the DVD of a guy, I don't know if we put it in there, but of a guy with a man on his back. That's a pastor's heart. What is he doing? The old man was blind and crippled, and he was bringing him to a Bible conference, walking across a river with him on his back. Made me think of Robin Hood in reverse. Those of you that have ever read that book. Here he was given in his name, and he's given to the Lord. He's got a pastor's heart, and he's learning as fast as he can, but he needs to be in training under, not me, but Pastor Aaron Ciaziombo. He needs to be under training, under his own. What a missionary's desire should be is to work himself completely out of a job by the power of Jesus Christ and leave behind men that far excel him. Leave behind him men of their own culture that train their own people and win their own people and love their own people and go and care for their own people in the love of Jesus Christ. And say, we don't need you anymore, missionary. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we want. Before I left, I had gone, and we'll get back to the general theme of adversity. But as I left, just before I left, about a month, we had a Bible conference. And one of the men that had been in this place, a very remote place, it's 47 kilometers, which is a little over 30 miles, from anything that would resemble a road that we would call a road unless we were in Colorado hunting elk. But anyway, it's remote. It's third world. And the leadership of that church, they still don't have a pastor that's trained. Given and Joe do the best they can. We need to get them at that institute under Pastor Aaron to train to be a pastor, and we're working on that. It's village appropriate, where you have a support farm so they can make a living for their family while they're there. It's not in place yet. We need a well. We got the money. We don't have someone to drill it yet. Promises have failed. That's God's timing. It worries me for about 3 seconds now, and then it's over. God will do it when he's ready. But this farm will be village appropriate, where when we leave, they don't need any more capital to keep it going. It'll be just like they're used to exist. And the well will be a hand pump well, because they know how to fix those. Hallelujah. It's going to be what they're used to. And we don't expect great changes in the world. Look at America. We're regressing in our economy. What makes us think that they're going to increase greatly in theirs? And so it's going to be village appropriate, and that's what we're concentrating on, is training these men. But these people, the one of the leaders there, he can't be a pastor. He's got four wives. He had them before he ever got saved. What are you going to do, tell him to divorce three of them? I know a lot did that. David Livingston used to do that. I can't find, God hates divorce. He doesn't hate multiple marriages. He said he doesn't want it. He didn't originally intend it. And it's not good for a pastor. That just makes common sense. Think about that for a while. Look what happened to Solomon with multiple wives. But he hates divorce. The Bible says he hates divorce. So this guy's got four wives. Take care of them and the kids. You're the one that brought them. But it doesn't mean he can't be a leader in the sense of telling the younger men, and he does, don't make the mistakes I made. Yeah, do what God says. He tells them, he says, let me tell you something. When Moses wrote in the law of God, in the precepts and the judgments, when he wrote in there, what does the Lord require of thee? A question that demands a specific answer. He said, walk in all his ways. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Keep his commandments. Oh, we don't have to keep commandments anymore. No, you better keep them precious so you'll know if you're making Jesus happy day by day. Amen. Or if you're failing. He said, don't do what I have done. Don't do the things I've done. And he tells them about Jesus. But do one thing I did. That's believe in Jesus Christ. He'll save your rotten soul. He called me up on a cell phone. They got cell phones down there now. How about that stuff? I liked it when we had to go down there and see him. We couldn't talk to him face to face. Of course, the older I get and the more my bones ache, the happier I am to have a cell phone. But anyway, he said, Brother Phil, he's got three college degrees in English. He'd speak good English. He also told me one day, this is extra. This is one of those rabbits. I'm going to skin him when I catch him. He told me one day, we were riding down through the bush in the middle of the night to pick up a bunch of people for a Bible conference. And Brother Richard Chilicana, he said, Brother Phil said, we're Ephesians 2:20 brothers. I nearly wrecked that truck. I had a shouting glory fit. Tears running down my eyes in the middle of the bush, in the middle of the night with dim lights on an old Nissan, and I'm crashing around through there and ran right off the road. I got so excited. Thank goodness I had good tires and a strong suspension. I backed up and got back on the road. Still couldn't see. I was still weeping. I reached over and put my arm around that old boy's neck. I said, you don't do that. They don't hug each other. I put my arm around that old boy's neck, and I said, I love you, Richard. He said, I love you too, Phil. Ephesians 2:20, brothers. We met at the cross. Our sins were delivered. We were delivered from our sins. We died there at the cross of Calvary to where we were, from who we were. And Jesus became our life. And now we're brothers in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:20, brothers. He said, Brother Phil said, we need a Bible conference down here. I said, I know, Richard. I know this Bible Institute. He said, forget that Bible Institute. You deal with it. He said, send us Aaron and Costa and Alfred. We don't need you. Hallelujah! We don't need you, missionary. And they didn't. They had a Bible conference. God broke out on that place. Families restored. People saved. Man, that's the dream of dreams for a missionary that knows why he's in a place. Adversity. This church at Antioch, people getting saved, people getting right with God, Jews converting from being Pharisaical and Sadduceical, or whatever they were, Sadducees, people being converted from a false worship of the Most High God for benefit and personal gain of those that were in leadership. People that needed Jesus Christ, just like Brother Bill, just like the high priest, Caiaphas. Ask him about that. What a question. I ain't got over that one. Listen, they went down there and Jews got converted. And next thing you know, they're preaching to the Grecians. That would be our ancestors in philosophy and wickedness and Gentiles in general. And a church was formed, a body of Christ. And Barnabas went down there from the Jerusalem church, from the mother church. That's why y'all ought to come visit us in Zambia, by the way. Anyway, they went down there to see, sent down there to see what's going on. And they went down there and Barnabas said, look, with purpose of heart, you cleave unto the Lord. How was all that launched? Because the Christians were being persecuted in Jerusalem and scattered all around the world. That's how it happened. And that's how churches grow often. As adversity comes, cleansing follows, and the bright and shining gold of the trial of the faith of those left behind gleams brightly, and people begin to get saved, and the pews begin to get full, and God begins to move, and people say, look at that, something's going on down there. Amen. And it doesn't sound like a honky-tonk to me. So I think I'll go see why they're having so much fun and they ain't drinking no Budweiser. Something's going on down there. Let's go find out. And then somebody comes by their door and says, why don't you come find out? Well, I've been thinking about that. And his pastor said, I don't think I'd fit in. You come on down there. We'll love you. I like that. We'll love you. Adversity. Growing from, launching from another church, and these people were launched from the Jerusalem church. That's Bible. That's Bible, Bible, and it's more Bible, and it's biblical, and it's Bible, and it's scriptural, and it's biblical. You get the point? They were launched from the Jerusalem church, but through adversity, through persecution, through death and mayhem. And some of the strongest churches on this planet are in some of the places over in Eastern Asia where they're still killing the pastors and killing their families and threatening to kill them. It's happening in Nigeria. And they're telling the Christians they're coming in, the adverse groups that I won't call any names, but their initial is Islam. Sorry. Sometimes you can't help but say what's... Even if it is negative. I'm kind of like a negative Pete preacher. See, somebody asked him one day, said, you're negative about everything. You're not positive about anything. He said, oh, no, I'm positive about some things. He said, name one. He said, I'm positive anybody ain't saved going to hell. He said, I'm also positive that if they'll trust Jesus, they'll go to heaven with all their heart to follow him. Listen, there's people giving their lives, their families, their children are being slaughtered in front of them. Preachers are having their children killed in front of them and the children crying out and saying, don't renounce Jesus. And they die. Now, that's not an everyday occurrence, but it's still happening. It's happening around this world. It's happening in a country just north of us. It's happening in southern Sudan. If I weren't so old, I'd want to go up there so bad. And I know he's a rough old character. I know he's still got some real rough edges. But there's a guy named Sam Childers up there that carries a machine gun while he rescues kids from these wicked terrorists like Kony. He's killed a few. Warrior for the Lord at the lowest level and the highest calling. Love Jesus Christ. I don't agree with his theology, but I sure do love his love for Jesus and those children. Listen, it's going on all around us, but out of adversity is springing up these oases. They're called churches. They're called the body of Christ in that place. They're the local New Testament Bible-believing, devil-hating, and Jesus-loved and loving congregation of the assembly. Bought and paid for at the cross of Calvary and presented without spot or wrinkle by the testimony of the salvation of those that are members in particular. The They are born again. It's called regeneration. That's called from death unto life. And it happens most often when things are not going well in the midst of adversity. In 2000, I see, how old am I? Long time. Get my dates mixed up. I try to go back to 1990. That'll cut about 10 years off my life, 14 years off my life, 24 years, whatever it is. I can't even do math anymore. Doesn't make any difference. In 2003, we were in a church that we'd been members of, except for a short while, that I pastored a little country church. We were in a church that we'd been there since 1976. Is that right? July of 76 or 77 or somewhere around there. And that church went through great difficulty, and tragedy struck. And it's not a biblical church anymore. They meet, but it's not a biblical church anymore. But one Sunday morning, it was a mission Sunday of all things. I'd just gotten back from a ministry that our church had in Zambia, that they had laid hands on my wife and I to ordain us to be the missions liaison to missions work there in Zambia. And it was the morning of the report of that. And I was supposed to preach the Sunday morning message and give a report of what God had done in my last trip there. And there had been some adversity going on, and in the midst of that the one that was corrected and brought to face what he had done decided he was going to keep the church. And he did about half of it. And most of them were ones that he had invited in without having any testimony of salvation. And it was adversity. Our hearts were broken. Some of the guys surrounded me because they thought I was going to fight. And that's my nature. They knew me, so I guess it was a fair assumption. And they gathered around me, threatening me. And it wasn't fear. It was absolute brokenheartedness. And I walked around them and walked to the back of the church and sat down. And I told the Lord. I said, Lord, I asked him, I pled with him, that he was going to destroy this church behind closed doors, not with anyone else, just me, the senior associate, and this one. And he did. He kept it, but he destroyed it. And out of a broken heart, I said, Lord, what are you going to have me do? And a friend of mine, who was the mission founder and director of Baptist International Outreach, out of Knoxville, Tennessee, or Maynardville, actually. He called me up. He said, Brother Phil, he said, the Lord just laid it on my heart to ask you to come to our missions conference out here in Pigeon Forge. And I told him, I said, I'm going. And I went up there with a broken heart, praying all the way and listening to a preacher that Melody gave me a stack of tapes her mother gave her, and I'd never heard him preach before. And he preached exactly what I needed, man. I listened to him all again on the way back. But in the middle of that missions conference, I'd felt like, well, Lord, I guess you're going to launch me into some kind of liaison ministry with Zambia. And in the middle of that missions conference, he spoke to my heart, and he said, you're moving to Zambia. Do you get that? And this guy that was speaking at the time was speaking on Russian. It was all Zambia to me. And I walked out of that meeting and walked out the back door, and old Dr. Vic came out and put his arm around me. He's about this tall, and he put his arm around my shoulder. He said, Brother, are you okay? I said, I ain't no. never been better in my life. I was bawling and howling. No wonder he came out. I'm sure they could hear me inside. He said, "Is God sending you to Zambia?" I said, "Yeah. Yeah, he is." I got in that old pickup truck. Or no, I guess it was an old Chevrolet car by then. I got in that car and I took off back for Cedar Park, Texas. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm happy as a donkey just ate a bale of hay. But that woman I'm married to, she's just my wife, but she's your daughter. You're going to have to deal with this." And you look at her. I won't make the same analogy about the donkey and the hay, but she's happy. She's happy. Stand up for a minute, sweetie. Just stand up. That's her right there. That's God's girl right there. Yeah, hallelujah. She followed an idiot to Zambia, and she obeyed God to follow him, follow the idiot. I called my cousin. I said, "Cousin, let me tell you something. Now, this is out of adversity. This is out of a church dying. This is out of a place I'd given 8 years to. This is out of a place that I had loved. I was a senior associate. I didn't want to be any more than that. I wanted to do what I did. I got to go to hospitals at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray with people when they were going in with surgery. When they had somebody that needed Jesus Christ, they'd say, 'Phil, would you go visit this person?' I said, 'Give me that note and get out of the way.' Hallelujah. I loved what I did. And in the midst of adversity and destruction, in my opinion, I don't know. There's a lot of other people that are doing better too, also in other churches, serving the Lord still. But the Lord launched us to Zambia. And out of the midst of down to 22 people, on the first Sunday morning that my beloved brother preached as pastor, I look out across this congregation and I go very quietly, because it's my nature to be quiet. I say, 'Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest.' Man, I'm telling you, out of adversity, out of trouble, God launches works that last. And you say, 'How long did this work last?' Long enough to send out the first missionaries. Praise God. Hallelujah. Missionary Baptist Church of Antioch. Amen. Glory to God. And guess what? Because of that launch, you have Jesus. You ever think about that? Paul would have killed you before this if he'd have known you. And you said, 'I love Jesus.' Been the last words you spoke. Shoo! Gone. Another Christian done gone. God turned him around and launched him with Barnabas and then with Silas. And he and the other apostles turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ, planting churches all across the Mideast and all across Europe they spread. And then they came to America. Hallelujah for America. And churches coming to America and churches in America. And we're going to stand. And if they put us in jail, we're still going to preach. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but you've got some brothers and sisters in this country that are in jail for preaching Jesus on the street. Right now, I got a buddy that sends me all that stuff. Out of adversity, out of the refining fires of this old world, comes the gold of the work of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at it. What does last forever? The gold that God purifies. The gold and silver that God does purify. That does last forever. That's His work. I have an everlasting salvation by an everlasting Savior. And it's an everlasting glory to my old soul that was redeemed by the everlasting blood of an everlasting God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep on keeping on. 65 years and counting. Let's keep on for Jesus. And thank you for letting me be a part of it and being your missionary in Zambia, Brother Tracy.
Let's all stand, and we'll have an invitation. Maybe you need to like to respond. Maybe here tonight and here today, you've never trusted Jesus. Friend, I promise you, we will be thrilled. We will rejoice if you would trust Christ today by repenting of your sin, calling upon Christ to be your Savior, believing the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe today, maybe the Lord's touching somebody's heart about missions. Maybe God's touching somebody's heart about membership. Whatever God has touched your heart about, you need to follow the leadership of the Lord. We give you an opportunity. Brother Stephen, what's our number?